please get your seats.
Sorry.
No, it's okay.
Would please, a bunch of people here?
Yellow different?
Yes, yes.
Cell phones, if you muted, any electronic devices muted or turned off. Okay. First item, roll call, please.
Commissioner Sanapa. Commissioner Geary.
Yes.
Commissioner Blackburn.
Yes.
Commissioner Christopher.
Yes.
Commissioner Taggart.
Approval of summary proceedings for November 17th. I got it. There's only three of us tonight, so.
From what I can recall, it's accurate. I make a motion to receive.
And I will second.
Okay, all in favor? Okay, motion carried. Thank you. Consent agenda zero. Public presentations. Okay, public presentation. This portion of the meeting is reserved for persons to address the commission on any matter not on this agenda, but under the jurisdiction of the commission. Commissioners may respond briefly to statements made or questions posed. They may ask a question for clarification, make a referral to staff for factual information, or request staff to report back to the commission at a later meeting. Also, the commission may act to direct the staff to place a matter of business on a future agenda. Please state your name and address for the record before making your presentation. Speakers are limited to 2 minutes, and Director Collin has the stopwatch. Thank you. So, first row, any comments?
Yes.
Okay. You need to look to the podium and state your name and your address, and you have 2 minutes. And good seeing you again.
Yes. Nice seeing you again, too. Yes, I'm Kathy Cornell. My address is 5209 Clover Moss Street here in Bakersfield. And I'd just like to present tonight. My biggest concern right now is we need to do something about the spay and neuter, whether we set up somebody that can go door to door at leases and ask for the identification, whether the dogs are spayed, neutered, or rabies, and have a follow up if they come up with an excuse. Because this is the reason I want that, because right here, 70 some dogs in about the last 2 months I've got. Mm-hmm. I've fostered them, I've held them on the stray hold, I've vetted them, not at the local vet, but I take care of them, what I can. I reach out to larger rescues, LA, all the way up to Washington, that will take them from me. And they have the money, and they're fully vetted, and then neutered, and then they are adopted out. So this is the reason I want to stay and neuter. That's my biggest concern right now. And then my second one is I want to start an educational program here in town, which I'm going to address later to the kids. I got free information, free booklets for the kids. I can go into the schools and do it if I can get some backup. I just got off of the field today, barely made it here in time, went home and showered, put myself together. I just picked up a dog that was tied to the corner of a freeway. She just had pups, didn't have pups, someone kept them, and she was tied. So I'm out in the field almost every day. I dig dogs out of ditches, I dig dogs out of tunnels, and it's just like a teaspoon out of the ocean. I can pick up one, there's two dumped. I can pick up four, there's eight dumped. And 99% of them are not spayed or neutered. The ones that are spayed and neutered will have a chick easily and a follow-up, and I can find the owner. But out of the last 3 years, I started this when COVID first hit because I just didn't have anything to do. In the last 3 years, I probably have rescued over 300 dogs out in the outlying areas, and I have records for them all. And out of those 300, I would say, safe to say, maybe six I've been reunited that have been spayed, neutered, and chipped. So it's a really big concern, and it's just really touches my heart a lot, these dogs do, because I go out, took me 3 years to catch one in three legs, and that's where I'm going to be quick. Anyway, they x-rayed his leg, and someone took a shotgun and shot that leg off. And so that dog took me 3 years to get. He's in a wonderful home now and getting surgery. So that's it.
Okay, thank you.
I had a quick question.
Yes.
First, thank you for what you do. Second, when you're talking about policing, are you talking about policing for licensing? Because there is no mandatory spay and neuter.
Well, that's what we need to do then.
We're working on that.
I think we need to have, we need to get this mandatory spay and neuter, and then have somebody, you know, go door to door to show that they've had those dogs spayed and neutered. Whether they say no or yes, if they say no, we need to maybe have a fine, or give them a grace period, say, okay, I'll be back, you need to get this done, and then we return. If not, then we need to have another step that we need to take.
Okay, I was just trying to understand.
Yeah, in 2 days, back to back, I rescued them all with 8 pups, and another, the next day later, I rescued them all with 9 pups. Out in the field.
Thank you.
Okay.
I had the pleasure of meeting Kathy last month on a ride along that I did. I'll talk about that later during the segment, but she's one of the hardest working rescuers that I've met so far. And she's got quite a story to tell, so I'm really glad that you're here tonight. Sorry, I had to cut you 2 minutes, but that's what happens. Did you want to speak?
Yeah, I'll just get it real quick. My name is Cheryl Deckel. My address is 8820 Clydesdale Street, Bakersfield, of course. So I'm with RAT, I'm Rescue, and we still continue to feed the dogs. Regular. We do about 1,200 pounds, if not more, monthly that we take out and feed the dogs that not only she's rescuing, but we also rescue as well, but just to sustain them because they are dumped and left to die. And I know the need just seems to get worse and worse in this area and the dumping. So we do rescue them. We do what we can. It's not enough. We can rescue, you know, 20, but then there's 50 that are out there. So just hoping for change. I don't have the answers. I don't really know. I know that some people have a better way to articulate, and I'm not that person. I just know that I do what I can to help in the effort of trying to keep the dogs, I don't know, the suffering, trying to help the dogs and to rescue them. But I just know something needs to be done here because it just seems like this area seems to be worse than anything I've ever seen from other places, because I'm not from here, and it's just something that's shocking to me. It's alarming.
Thank you. I'll talk to Amber about it, but we can put Kathy on next month for our own agenda item, maybe 10 minutes or whatever. We'll talk about it after the meeting. But she's got a story to tell, and she's got some education stuff that you want to hand out at schools.
Yes.
Train them young. I like the whole approach. So, okay, thank you. Next table, please. Anybody?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Hey there, I'm Natasha Falcons. 502 Pacific Street is my address. I live in East Bakersfield. I'm an independent rescuer. I've been doing it since I've lived here. I too am really not used to this. I'm from Orange County, so when I first moved here, I thought every stray dog had an owner looking for it. So it wasn't until moving here I realized that's not the case. I'm here to amplify the issues that we know are already problematic in our county. I recognize we need to have bodies at these meetings. We have to be loud. I'm here to be another number. But on top of that, as a person that lives on the east side, since the pandemic, it's increased. I follow Kathy, actually, and I am every day amazed because I recognize the work that it takes, the peace it takes from you, because you're thinking of these animals day and night. And so what I really want to share with people is that it's absolutely at the brim for an individual. So I can't imagine rescues. I can't imagine people that are intentionally going out to find animals. I find animals just going to work. I'll pull over, I'll feed them if they don't come to me, I'll post, I'll repost, I'll bring them home. Recently, my friend and I, we went to try to rescue a litter dumped at Hart Park. And she's down in a bush that has thorns everywhere, and one of them was attacked by a coyote overnight. Had to be put to sleep. We do what we can, but at this point, recognizing as an individual, our hands are becoming tied, and we recognize the pandemic is a piece of that. Folks are not able to find affordable housing. Tenants are having a hard time finding landlords that are able to accept pets. The deposit for pets are really high, and people are unfortunately not able to afford these things. So what we're seeing is a manifestation of all of these issues combined together. And I recognize the supervisors probably have a plethora of issues, but I think this needs to be a priority because it's getting worse, it's increasing. And I know rescuers can't handle it anymore. And as an individual, I'm packed to the brim at my house as well. So I'm just hoping that we can find a solution as soon as possible.
Thank you very much. people to go ahead, please.
Hi, Jean Redder, 2617 Stagecoach Street, Northwest Bakersfield, Enos Lane, North area, and we get a lot of dump dogs out there also. Based on last meeting, I started screenshotting pregnant dogs or puppies that have been dumped or just found to bring to, submit to you guys. And this is just a small portion. Even Redemption Ranch, who I volunteer for, we went and rescued one from the city shelter December 22nd, a mom with eight puppies. Our supply is just growing with, you know, not enough demand again with landlords, not, you know, taking dogs. It's just, it's scary, it's sad. I'm seeing more and more dead dog posts, more and more dead dogs or dead cats along the roads, wherever I drive. And it wasn't like that. I was born and raised here. I mean, it wasn't to that extent before, and I don't know how much time I have left because it's just been on zero. And that's pretty much talking to me, Jeff. Yeah.
Keep going. I appreciate your
trust me, I'm here now.
Okay, good. Anybody else on? You want to? Okay, please go on.
Here's the time.
This one's about this. 2226 Edwards Avenue, kind of on the east side of Bakersfield. Ironically, bought a home 3 years ago. I'm a local realtor. I'm very grateful that I own my time and that I have the freedom and the capacity to show up when there is obviously a need. Currently, I have 5 animals, all rescues. I've devoted myself to naming every dog after every street that I save them on. So currently, I have a Haiti, I have a Mount Vernon, I have an Oswell, and then I have a University. You know, and Panorama.
Very visual.
You know, it is what it is. The reality is that with seeing the amount of people that are relocating in Bakersfield and the questions that I'm getting, hey, what's going on? Why are there so many dogs? This is depressing. I'm selling 3 houses right now specifically because these people relocated here and were so disheartened and so disenchanted with what they saw that they don't want to be here. They don't want to be around it. That's concerning to me because I think about my business. Secondly, I care about our community, and I'm seeing so many people here, faces that I've never met in person, that are so selfless, giving themselves financially, physically, emotionally, spiritually, and it's very difficult to see the hard work that they do day in and day out, and it's not cheap, and you know, and seeing people tap out and say, I can't do this anymore, because now their mental health is compromised. It's not fair to them. It's not fair to the people that love this community and plan on staying here. I wanted to leave Bakersfield specifically for this, but because of this, I'm staying. Okay, and I really hope that we're able to make some type of change, find some type of solution, infrastructure, accountability. I believe that there's a solution. Okay, I'm not giving up on this town. This is why I'm showing up, so I'll be here regularly. Okay, this is not okay, and it's not your guys' fault, but it's a community issue, and so we really need to start figuring something out because this is not okay.
It's not okay.
Yeah.
And thank you for your attendance, and I do want to recommend that you come here every month because this is a great group of selfless people right here in this room, and I know most of them. So, Danny? Okay, deal 3.
So first of all, I definitely want to thank you for coming to, you know, our little ride along that day. We went out for 4 hours. I prepped Mr. Blackburn in the car with me, and then also Neil. And so we went around looking at different areas here in town, and around here in the medical center certainly did not disappoint. But I think the hardest thing is, you know, communicating what's really going on out there, because we, even though we're out here in it on a daily basis, you know, you guys don't really see it. So I was hoping on that day we'd see even more animals and the truth of what it really was, but now it's hard to kind of, you know, get that closer into a certain amount of time and a certain time of day. But I, you know, we look at the breeders, the breeding that's going on, because I'm Bakersfield Boxers and Bullies Rescue, the pit bulls is a huge issue for me. I know that we have the ordinances already, and a lot of our newer faces don't know that. We have worked hard, you know, as a group to come up with some ordinances. They still need to be tweaked, I'm sure. you know, some of the stuff, like I know that a lot of the stuff is not quite covered in it, but it's at least a place to start. But the number of pit bulls that are bred intentionally, and I brought some for you as well here that I wanted to make sure that I gave to you, but this is 1 year stud available UKC registered, which is good. Cane Corso available for makeup. Okay. Looking for a proven Trindle producer stud for my brindle female when she goes into her second heat. Let me see something. Three of the adult males on the same litter. Safe to say it hit well. I produce these five dogs. Here's one I thought was really interesting, very creative. Here's a bingo raffle. Pay for a ball chosen on your turn, and that's how he's getting rid of his litter of puppies, is he's raffling them off. Morning, Bakersfield. My micro is a I swear I'm about to rock bottom his for pulling his, this pose on me, opening him up for studying in February. Here's another one. Open for stud, Juice. His name's Juice. We come harder every year. Going out for stud, 7 months as of now. He's 80 pounds. Here's another one, this guy, Jonathan Silva. He's obviously a breeder. He's got a cane corso, looks like here. Guapo and Millie. Just, and these are all different ones. And these are just in the first 2 weeks of January. This is not something that we've gotten, you know, over a long period of time. This is just in the first 2 weeks of January. So I would like to talk about also banning the breeding of pit bulls in this town. I think it's needed.
Can you leave those with us? Okay. Thank you for your comments. I'll talk more about our work right along in a minute. Table 3 still. Anybody else want to make a comment?
Yeah.
Okay, come on up.
Good evening, everyone. Steve Laird, L-A-I-R-D, 12010 Nicholson Avenue, Bakersfield. I've never been to this meeting before, and quite honestly, I've never kind of considered the dog problem until the last 5-10 years since I lived in Bakersfield, and I have 3 rescues myself, all from the street. We've kept them, turned out to be great pets. And I have to say, I'm not a professional rescuer, individual rescuer like these two fine young ladies here, but I'm a peripheral person who supports them, primarily financially, where I can. Dog food, money for pet bills, and such as that. And I have to tell you, I'm a pretty tough guy, and it's distressing. The amount of stray dogs through irresponsible breeding, and let me capitalize the word irresponsible breeding, okay? And just dogs that are discarded and out walking around strays, hit by cars, and the rest of this community has to clean it up. I have seen it drain these ladies and these gentlemen emotionally, financially, psychologically, and it's hard. And I'm not even a direct rescuer. I'm just on the periphery, so I'll admit that right now. And so I urge this commission to do what's needed to do to stop this, or at least slow down the bleeding. And I believe the answer to that is going to be mandatory spay and neuter, and doing away with the irresponsible, let me say it again, irresponsible breeders, because I understand everyone's got a life. Something has to be done, because this feels like we're peeing in the ocean, waiting for the tide to rise. And I thought with Critters Without Litters opening up here in town a few years ago, the problem would go down, and it hasn't. It seems to be worse. So whatever you can do, I plead with you to think about it. I plead with you to think about it. Because if not you, then who? If not now, then when?
Thank you very much.
I just wanted to let you know, you're new to this meeting. We had a subcommittee and we worked very hard, especially on the breeding aspect. So Director Cullen will touch on that a little bit later. Please keep coming.
Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Okay, we're still on table 3, I think. Anybody else? No? Okay. And we're going to move to table 4. Anybody? Is that Larry back there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. One of them.
Unfortunately, you're getting not Larry.
Hi, Vicki
Thrasher, 93312. I am the executive director of Critters Without Litters.
And I'm going to ruin the mood.
Sorry about that. I know it's frustrating, I know it's hard, and I know things seem really bleak. I just, on the other side, last year, our place, day in, day out, 12,589 spayed neuter surgeries were performed. We saw 16,940 animals come through for vaccines during our vaccine clinic. And we administered 57,697 vaccines to those animals between the vaccine clinic and the spayed neuter clinic. There are good people here. There are people working very hard. There are responsible people here. I'm sorry that for some of you who are out here in the rescue end of things, it feels dark and bleak. But I'm here to tell you there's also a whole other group of people who are finding those animals and are scheduling the appointments. And we're booked out because, you know, we're fixing things. But there's a whole lot of folks who are picking up animals and are holding on to them, and are waiting until they can get them fixed. And they're bringing them in for vaccines, and they're doing the very best they can to try and get them in a place so they've done enough in a shelter, and they've done enough in a house where someone's not gonna do the right thing by them. It's that there are good people out there who are working very hard, and you know, I can certainly say for the staff at Critters, they're working really hard to try and meet the need. There's still some room to grow, there's still some room for refining some of the practices. And on behalf of my Crazy Cat Coalition, the TNR folks are probably some of the most selfless people. On behalf of the Stray and Community Cat Group, you're going to find anywhere at a time. So, there is light around the edges of those clouds. There really is. So, just understand that I get what you guys are talking about, I get what you see. But there are also really good people out there. And remember to try and find those folks sometimes when you're having a really bad day.
I'm really glad you're here tonight to say that, so thank you. Caleb, or anybody else? Come on up, please.
Good evening. I'm Sawyer from South 3303 Panorama Drive. I am here kind of representing, hopefully speaking for the organizations that I am a board member of. I'm Secretary Treasurer, Communications Director of Friends Foundation, Friends of the Kern County Animal Shelters Foundation, a mouthful. And I just recently joined Forget Me Not Rescue. I have the fortune of living in several cities, counties in California, Northern California, and Southern California. People that live here in Bakersfield. And unlike those communities, even though Kern County has made strides in spending in regards to animal welfare services and education, it doesn't compare to where I've lived in other cities where they take a more proactive approach. And I feel that that's something that we need to do here in Kern County is be more involved. I don't want to, using the word spending, I feel like we should be investing in animal welfare services and education, because in a city where I hear the beautiful Bakersfield awards, I can't see how Bakersfield can be beautiful if we're allowing animals to run free from southeast, northeast, northwest. It's starting to look like a third world country, and that is from a visitor that just came in, my cousin from Chicago. So how can I defend that when I know it's kind of true? You can't go in any park, even what people call people in the nicest parts of Bakersfield. You see strays, and that's unfortunate. For a city with intelligent individuals, hardworking individuals, that should not be the norm here, and it is. So it's something that we should be ashamed of, and I feel that the county and the city both need to develop support and fund programs, educational programs, and spay neuter programs, because these folks can't do it by themselves. But I think that for the longest time, they have been relying on these individuals here and passing a budget and thinking, oh, it's going to get done, because, gosh, there's a lot of rescues in Bakersfield. There shouldn't be a lot of rescues in Bakersfield.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So if you can, if we can encourage our county governments to support and fund our programs, animal welfare programs. That would be a step in the right direction to a beautiful Bakersfield. And if I can end my statement with a quote that a friend always uses at the end of her emails, and this is a Gandhi quote: "The greatness of a nation and its moral progress cannot be judged, can only be judged by the way it treats its animals." And that is so true. So I'm hoping we make some improvements. Thank you.
Thank you. It's a beautiful Kern County Award is what we're looking for. Let's see, table four still. Anybody else? Okay, I'm on the side here. You guys want to say anything?
Okay. Can I say something to the crowd real quick?
I'm sorry?
Can I say something to the crowd?
No, you cannot. You have to come up here and say something. Like everybody else.
This is more than twice the amount of people that have been here. Like, as long as I've been coming here, I've been coming here for a couple of years. Just so you guys know, usually we only have less than half this amount of people.
What was your name again?
Michael.
Yep. I can't see that far, but anybody else in the back? Okay, come on up.
Hi, my name is Daisy. I live at 906th Street. As of right now, I currently have over 50 animals in my house.
50.
Cats, dogs, puppies, you name it. And lately, my house has become a dumping ground. Just 2 weeks ago, 2 to 3 weeks ago, I got 9 puppies dumped out my front gate. Then, this last Friday, I got 7 more. Today, I got a husky tied up to my fence, a puppy. I got a full-grown husky tied up to my fence 2 days ago, which luckily I found a rescue for. All these I have found a rescue for up in Oregon. And now, what I'm having trouble with is trying to get them fixed here. So I'm having to drive up to Fresno once, twice a week, early in the morning, just to get them fixed over there. Even getting them into a bed, I'm having such a hard time, especially with the distemper problem that's going on. I'm calling and I'm saying I have so many animals and I need, you guys to give them a wellness check, make sure they're okay. I have these dogs that are sick. They're like, I'm sorry, we're booked out so weeks. We don't have anything. And the only place I can go is an emergency hospital, but now they won't even take me unless animals are dying or got hit by a car. So I actually am going out feeding the animals around my area. Cats, I've been trapping and I've been taking them to critical vet litter to get fixed. And I feel even though I trapped 2, it's like 10 more just appear. And I've have gone out and whenever an animal is in need, and what I notice is we call animal control, and these people just get away with stuff because nobody ever really investigates. There is a paraplegic dog that was out there, I guess, for a month, and he got hit by a car. The lady couldn't afford, vet care, which I understand, but, you can surrender the dog, you can ask for help, and there are people out there willing to help. So when animal control went out there, all the lady had to do was say, that's not my dog. Even though it was in her yard, in front of her house, laying in front of her door, And that's, I think, what I've noticed is nobody ever gets in trouble for being cruel to animals and for neglecting them and dumping them. And even though, I've seen people intentionally speed up to hit a dog. And I have gotten their license plates. I've called, police, nothing ever does. And I mean, I know it's hard because, there's so much crime going on and everything. So, sometimes animals are kind of left on the bottom. And so it's just very overwhelming because I can't leave them out on the street. The shelters are full. They're not taking animals right now because of this distemper problem. And, I wouldn't want to put that on them anyways. They're just so overwhelmed, and I know how it is. Every night, I cry because I have so many animals, and I just don't know what to do. My house is just packed.
I would say so with 50 animals.
Yeah. And, luckily I found rescues in Oregon and people here in town that have helped me. Sorry. I have never seen it this bad before. And there's even rescues that have reached out to me, and they want me to go out to animal control and say, have them send me an application. I'm willing to pool. And nobody ever sends anything to them. They have called, I have called, and they don't hear anything. and they're just wondering, you know, what's going on? Like, do they not want to work with us? They're reputable rescues, and especially the Mount Vernon Animal Center. They're, you know, I've had three rescues that have been, you know, they have been asking, like, you know, figure out why they haven't sent me anything, and they've been wanting to help, and, you know, they don't get anything. And
so Mount Vernon is the city shelter?
That's the city shelter, yes.
Correct.
Yes.
If you're sending something to the Fruitvale shelter, that's the county shelter.
Yes.
And I'm hoping you're receiving your...
County, yes. Okay. But the city, no.
Yeah, we're representing...
Oh, the county. Oh, okay. Oh, okay, sorry.
Okay,
I'm new here. Yeah, I'm new here. Okay. But yeah, no, county has been amazing. They are great.
I want to hear that.
Yeah, yeah, no, county has been amazing. Sorry.
Now
they're
okay.
Yeah.
So, you live in the city or the county? Where do you live?
I'm in County Street.
So you're city,
city,
right?
Yeah.
I hope you do the same thing.
Okay.
I hope you have, like, a city council or wherever they meet at. I hope you do the same, give the same presentation at city. They need to hear what you're saying. You're very passionate about what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I know your time's about, time's up a minute ago, but we enjoyed listening to you. And I don't want to cut you off, but we've got a few more to go. This is your first meeting. I've never seen you before,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, my first
so
meeting.
Can you come back on a regular basis? Because we need your energy and maybe some ideas, and maybe there's some people here that can help you.
Yeah. No, a lot of people.
I can think about a couple people that can maybe help you.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a couple ladies.
Okay.
I'll be back.
Thank you very much. Okay.
Thank you.
Anybody come on up? I didn't bring my binoculars tonight, sorry.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
My name is Carrie Zinovich, and I'm 93144. Thank you for having me. Thank you for everyone being here. I don't know if anyone recognizes me, but I've been all over Facebook lately. But first of all, I just want to start by saying, even though with some of the rescue organizations printed up without litters, you're hearing a lot of us complain about things that we're seeing in the community. But that doesn't mean we don't recognize all of the good that you're doing and all the progress that's been made. We appreciate that as well. However, there are issues, severe issues in the county that need to be addressed. One, you already heard about the backyard breeding.
We've heard a little bit about it.
Yeah. And you know, my concern really, I'm mostly concerned with four breeds in Kern County. Pit bulls, chihuahuas, huskies, and shepherds. I volunteer with Kern County Animal Services. I've been doing that for years now, and I've been in the rescue world over 10 years. So I've seen some things, and I am very active. Anyway, I'm a reasonable person, and I know that most of the people in here are, and I understand that it's difficult to enforce mandatory or breeding restrictions. I know that's really hard, especially with the AKC and things like that you deal with on a regular basis. However, I also think that it's important to address the problems and to admit that there's a problem and to show accountability, especially with this group, with the county board of supervisors and this group. But to me, the problems are not being managed at all. They're not even being addressed. So it seems to me that maybe a breeding restriction can happen with those four breeds until we can get the problem under control. And that's, I don't feel like that's asking too much. I feel like that's a reasonable thing to ask, which I'm, and most people would agree. And also, mandatory spay and neuter, I get it. Most people, a lot of people, especially in this county, don't want to be told what to do. And it's hard to enforce mandatory spay and neuter. I get that as well. However, I feel that it's really important to showcase the resources that we have available, to educate people, to spread awareness about resources that are available, and give people the option, because most people want to do the right thing. I truly believe that most people want to do the right thing. And then another thing too, a couple of years back, my husband and I attended a few of these meetings, and I know that a subcommittee was created to go over and probably implement new ordinances. And I don't know if anything ever happened with that subcommittee or if those ordinances
ever... We're
going
to be talking about it later
in the meeting. Okay, perfect. Okay, so I'd like to address that. And then just one other thing, I know your time is valuable. COVID hit, And that's obviously something that people blame a lot of these issues on. That's true. However, the issues stem with the lack of policy, the lack of enforcement. And I do have ideas, and I'm happy to come back to meetings, but I have ideas as to how we can.
Yeah, well, I'd like to be back.
I would love to come back.
It's the first time I've seen you.
Yes.
So I don't know where you've been, but I mean.
I've been at the shelter almost.
Okay.
A lot.
Okay.
Helping our animals, they're over capacity, and they have been.
Okay.
Anyway, thank you, Elizabeth.
Thank you very much.
Nice to meet you.
Anybody else in the back? Come on up. Anybody else after her? Okay, that'll be the last one. Okay, good.
Stacy Augustin, 93304. I used to attend the commission meetings years. I used to attend the commission meeting years ago when you guys were over at the public park.
Oh, yeah.
And I've got to say that I've appreciated your comments that I've been hearing in this commission. You seem to be more receptive. I just came last minute because I heard funding had stopped for critters. I don't know, I'm assuming the board of supervisors did that. I don't know what happened with that, but there's such a huge need for that. I do TNR and I've always gone to the vet with that. I went to critters my first time about a week ago. Got there at 6, I got on the list. And was packed with people. I barely made the list. So those services are being utilized.
Yes,
and
they are
sorely needed.
Well, she explained it.
Right. Yeah. So I just was very disappointed to hear that. I don't know what happened. I don't keep up on social media or the news or anything like that.
Okay.
And then the mandatory spay neuter had issues and talked about going back to my father. It's just, and it's needed. And it's needed for dogs and cats. And I have a huge issue with the neighbor two doors down. I have too many cats at home. I don't go get them. They wind up in my backyard with these neighbors. They get the kitten. Kitten comes into heat or, you know, needs to be neutered. It takes the collar off and it winds up in my place. And it's continuous. And what do you do with people like this? I mean, so anyway, I guess I'm just pleading that we do need, I believe, mandatory spay neuter. We do need funding for critters and other organizations that do spay neuter. And we do need to do something about backyard breeding. These people are making money tax-free. I don't know who's overseeing that and looking into that, but it's a problem that needs to be addressed. So.
Thank you very much for your comment. And I want to thank everyone for all their passionate comments. You know, this good group here. A lot of things we have answers for. I think we don't have answers for. But Director Cullen, who has most of the answers, is going to be next for staff announcements. He's got the answers just about everything.
Can I give myself 2 minutes?
No. 25 minutes. Anyway, Director Cullen, please.
All the answers,
huh? Most of them.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Nick Cullen. I'm the director of Kern County Animal Services. There's some paperwork up front there, just to give a quick explanation because there's so many new faces. There's 4 statistical handouts. Those are the intake and outcome statistics for calendar year 2020 to compare them with calendar year 2021. And then the statistical report to compare the time period of this meeting. So it's October 21 to December 21. So
the physical year old statistics. They're all different from last year.
2 months into the calendar year. So
like this.
There's also the director's report, which I will go over in a second. There's also a vaccination schedule for the county vaccination clinics for the calendar year. And there's also some small flyers versus spay neuter clinics that are coming up. And then there's a few other, the agenda and the summary proceedings to tell you what occurred at the last meeting in November. Okay, with that being said, I wanted to touch on, I think Stacy had said something about critters funding. First of all, the county does not fund critters. They do a pretty dang good job of it on their own. I think what you're talking about is our cat neuter release program.
Yeah, that came up.
So the cats that come to us that are from county residents, we largely put them through the TNR program. And Kurzweil litter handles probably 99.9% of all of our TNR surgeries. So what the conversation was is, I'll go over it in the director's report because there's some statistics here that are important to look at. But as of December 31st of 2021, we had spent $100,000 on feral cat surgeries, which is far and away, well, not far and away, but at that point, it's more than we had ever spent before, and it's only halfway through the year. So if we extrapolate to June, which is the end of the fiscal year, we'd spend $200,000 on feral cats. I don't have a problem with that. I think that's important to do. However, if you haven't been listening, there's a lot of dogs running the streets. So I have a finite amount of spay-neuter funding. It's $350,000, to be specific. I have about $200,000 left in that funding. We spent about, probably past that, but we spent $144,000 and change. And we have clinics that are scheduled for the remainder of the year. So funds are not finite. I mean, funds are finite, and we have to make decisions at some point. We have a trust fund that was set up for us many, many years ago. Some of us, we've been here for many years. I don't even know if any of the commissioners remember when that trust fund was set up. But 10% of your pet license, your dog license that you buy, goes into a trust fund. And that trust fund is used to fund spay neuter activities. So we have about $60,000 or so left in that trust fund. So I had spoke to Critters Without Litters on January 7th, and I said, hey, we're looking at, you know, about $18,000 left in funding the TNR for the rest of the year, unless I can find some more funding. So I emailed them today and said that we were able to dip into the trust fund and add on another $15,000. So that should get us closer to the end of the fiscal year. And then Vicki and her staff will hopefully communicate with me when we get close to that.
Absolutely.
And then I'll try to dig through the couch cushions.
I have my flying monkeys. I will be more than happy to communicate.
But I'm going to do everything I can to make sure we continue to fund TNR through the end of the year. We are funding mobile spay and neuter in the areas that need it most. Those mobile spay and neuters, they cost the county, they cost us $7,000 per clinic. So to give you an example, we have a wraparound clinic this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, $7,000 per day. It's $21,000 a weekend. And we have 22 clinics that we want to go through. Some of them are already done. So it's just juggling finances and making sure that we have enough funding to extend the TNR program as long as we possibly can without shooting ourselves in the foot and losing money to fund the voucher program or the spay neuter activities and the high intake care. So if for some reason we get to a point where we have to cut off funding for TNR, you'll hear it well in advance. But I don't believe we're gonna have to do that. I think if things keep trending the way they are, especially with our spay neuter vouchers, which we're not spending too much money on because people can't get appointments to get their animals fixed, we should be fine. But you will hear from me through a press release, through social media, or at this time here if that's impending. But I don't expect that it is.
Nick, can I interrupt you for a second?
Sure.
Just want to make sure the number right. So for this fiscal year, you 350,000, you've already dipped into 100,000 plus?
Just to clarify, typically we get $250,000 from the board supervisor, which just been another 100 grand. So $350,000 total for spay and neuter. We've spent, as of December 31st, $144,000 of change. But we've gone well past that now because it's January 19th. But we had, at the end, the first of the year, about $200,000 left to spend.
And the trust fund, how much is in that right now?
About between $50,000 and $60,000 in the trust fund. And we had already committed up there in the director report. We committed, I want to say it was like 18 spay neuter clinics, mobile spay neuter clinics throughout the remainder of the year.
And that's 7,000 a clinic? A day.
Yeah. Okay, and how many animals do they have?
That's a good thing. It sounds like a lot of money, and it is, but when you consider that they're able to do upwards of 60 animals per clinic, it's a points-based system that they employ, so it's not like we can do 60 animals, it's they can do 600 points, and each animal that's a different sex, male or female, and it isn't weight, it's the larger the animal. And if it's female, it takes more resources and more time to fix that pet. So the more females and the heavier they are, the more points that takes up, so it might be less than 60, but that's what they call a double clinic. We do single clinics sometimes, those ones are half the price, for the $3,500. I was talking to somebody today and I was explaining, not explaining, but it's supply and demand. There's a demand for mobile spay neuter, and they're kind of the only name in town for the mobile spay neuter. But we're working on some things to bring more spay neuter clinics to the areas that need it the most.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Statistical, I'll just touch on it quickly. We've had a busy couple of months, especially now. We have a couple of old programs that we're revisiting and a couple of new programs that we're trying to expand. Our foster program has been going like it always has. 386 animals have ended in the foster care program. To be honest with you, we face the same problems that you all do. We're no different. We have a problem getting animals spayed and neutered as well. So a lot of our foster animals, you see that number, 166 dogs, a lot of those are just animals that I can't get spayed or neutered. So they're in my foster care program. And they're taking up resources and staff time to manage those animals in the foster care program because they can't get them fixed. I'm trying not to make this too difficult. 561 cats were, TMR cats were spayed or neutered since November 1st. It's kind of a milestone, which is probably deserves a big thank you. Vicki and Larry over there more than anybody else, but we've passed 15,000 feral cat surgeries since we started the TNR program in 2014. 15,045 to be exact. We had a few adoption promotions in November and December. Almost 500 dogs and cats were adopted in those months. Next page 3, is the vaccination clinics, which is kind of important. We made some changes to vaccine clinics. Animal Services hasn't had, some of you may remember back before the pandemic, which was almost 2 years ago now, every Wednesday you can come to the Kern County Animal Shelter on Fruit Bell, and between the hours of 5 p.m. and 6:30 p.m. you can get your dog or your cat vaccinated for parvo or distemper or rabies. We haven't had the sort of open admission vaccine clinics since then. We had switched over to sort of an appointment-based vaccination system, which some people appreciated, but we were not seeing nearly the same volume that we were at those in-person clinics. The point of all that is to say that as of last Tuesday, we started those clinics up again. Nothing like what Vicki and Larry are doing at Cruz and Litters, but last Tuesday we held our first clinic. It was well attended. We were there an hour and a half past what we said we would because there were so many people that showed up. And what that told us is what everybody already knows is that if you make the resources available, people will take advantage of them. We had another clinic yesterday, also well attended. Then we have another clinic on next Tuesday. It's coming Tuesday. So this Tuesday from 5 to 6:30 p.m., 3951 Fruitdale Avenue. The important thing about these vaccination clinics, and I'm also going to get to that here in a second, is that the parvo and distemper vaccines are free. City, county, doesn't matter. They're free to anybody that has a dog. And you don't have to have a license or purchase a license at the time. You don't have to get a rabies vaccination at the time. The parvo distemper vaccines are free. The reason is because there's a lot of distemper in the community. If you've been coming to these meetings, this isn't the first time I talked about distemper. So please get the word out next Tuesday between 5 and 6:30 p.m. Come out and get your distemper or parvo vaccine. Licenses are important too, but I feel like the immediate problem right now is
Nick, did you say that city and county?
Right. Absolutely. Okay. And when February comes, we're going to switch over to every other Tuesday just because of staffing and resources. If we can manage to get enough volunteers to stand those up once a week, we will do that. But we're still trying to work out some of the kinks, especially with COVID and what it's doing for our staff and we're making an effort to be safe too. So in February, we'll switch over to every other Tuesday. But again, if you're trying to keep abreast of the things that we're doing and announce, or just follow our Facebook page, pay attention to the website, and you can make a change to the website as well. So the reason for those free vaccines is that the Petco Foundation, who is no longer called the Petco Foundation, they are called Petco Love, they are starting they have already started a nationwide vaccination campaign. And I say nationwide because that's important, because that means that it's not just Kern County that's looking at an increase in parvo distemper, it's nationwide. So they're starting this grant-funded campaign. We applied, we were granted, and they gave us 750 parvo distemper vaccines to start with, and 250 feline vaccines, and then we just ordered another 1,000. The whole intent is to build up to March. You're going to see Petco Love do a nationwide campaign in the month of March to get your pet vaccinated. So pay attention to that. We'll probably be switching to every week to hold them to that, and we'll do that in March to vaccinate as many pets as we possibly can. I will say something that's baffling to me, and I probably shouldn't even say this, but we posted about our vaccination clinic last Tuesday. We posted something just to say, you know, thank you for showing up, because we just didn't know if people were going to show up. And the amount of misinformation when we put something on Facebook that we are having a vaccination clinic was mind-blowing to me. People thought we were COVID vaccinating our dogs, and they are mad. And COVID vaccination is crazy. If you've ever had a dog with parvo or distemper, you'll know it's better off to get the dog vaccinated. Some important numbers about the Petco Love vaccines, just the free parvo distemper vaccines. Since December, we've issued 308 free parvo distemper vaccines, 219 free feline vaccines. Again, it's open to any resident, county or city. I will warn you that our parking lot is bananas, and coming between 5 and 6:30 p.m. the pack. And I had Sue Bennett, who's the president of the Kern Humane Society, call me just before this meeting, and she said that she came to the Tuesday night clinic to get her dog vaccinated. She just turned right around and left, because the line was ridiculous. So I warn you, there are lines, but you know, the resources are there, and we'll stay as late as we possibly can. And then just a reminder that we're going to push real hard to get these vaccinations into the community's pets, especially in March, just because we're seeing so much illness. And we have a pretty good idea why we're seeing so much illness beyond the vaccines. Year-to-date adoptions, I think it was 2,506 total adoptions, 1,445 dogs, 242 pups, 191 cats, 728 kittens. Rescues, the numbers are there. I will say about rescues is we've seen, and if you're in this business, you probably know why. We've seen complete nosedive in the amount of animals being rescued by nonprofits out of our facility. That's one of those things where the majority of the animals rescued from a 501c3 from county shelter were rescued from agencies that were outside of Bakersfield. Some even outside of Kern County. And so when they get word that a lot of the animals in both shelters are showing distemper signs, they don't want anything to do with those animals. Understandably so. So unfortunately, the numbers from rescue are taking a nosedive. But I will say there's some hardcore rescues that are still pulling animals from.
Yes,
some of you are here. Like I said, we had a couple of adoption promotions in December. We're trying to strike up a relationship with Petco again, partially because they support us very well. Both local Petco stores, we're trying to have in-store adoption specials, dogs and cats. We were successful there for a while. We had another one scheduled in January, and then they canceled us because they were limiting in-store events, but as soon as we're allowed to, we're going to be able to set those again, not only having cash available around the clock, but off-site events at those. Field services speaks for itself, over 2,000 calls for service in November and December. Our officers are doing the best they can. Honestly, they're doing the best they can to avoid having to pick up the dog. If we can find who it belongs to, or we can nail a fence together, or we can drill a fence together, because there are animals that are dying in the kennel because that are being euthanized at the shelter because there's too many dogs in here. So our officers are aware of that. They're doing the best they can to try to avoid having to take a dog in, keeping that animal's best interest in mind. We have officers that are going out to a property tomorrow to seize 15 dogs. So shelter scrambling right now to make space for 15 dogs. I will touch on the volunteer program. Gary, Commissioner Blackburn, might be happy about this. I know the volunteer program is near and dear to your heart. At last meeting, some of you that may have been here, I talked to you about a program, some new positions in the department that just being created with the structure of the organization and trying to provide some opportunity for advancement to some staff, but also things that we've needed for a long time. So there are program technicians that their primary responsibility is to be in charge of administering a particular program that we had. One of the programs that we've had that had really gone by the wayside was a volunteer program. There's a few of you in here who are OGs from the volunteer program. And
you should all stand up and take a bow, seriously.
By the way, if we can all give these people a hand, man. Because the volunteers are here tonight. They didn't just start like yesterday, man. They've been volunteering during the pandemic. You know, they've been managing our pet food program to give pet food to people that are in need. They've been cleaning cat kennels and dog kennels, and they've been here when we've had literally 10 volunteers total. So I can't express my appreciation anymore. They're lifesavers, legit lifesavers. But in that being said, those three positions that we created, one of those positions was to revitalize, rebuild, revamp the volunteer program. Some of you may know that Mr. Jeff George was our volunteer coordinator until he tragically passed away in 2020, January of 2020. And then the pandemic hit a couple months later, just decimated our volunteer program. Ms. Berkeley Hanley, who's sitting at the staff table, who decided to come here on her own, she's really building the volunteer program right now on the fly, trying to learn what it takes to build the program and integrate programs that manage volunteers. So she's doing a wonderful job. She's already had an open house. There's a copy of the flyer on here for it. Last Saturday we had an open house to bring volunteers in because, as some of our volunteers will tell you, COVID has done a number to our staff. We've had days when we have literally six employees that are there clean after 275 animals. So volunteers are important. So that open house produced 35 orientations on the spot for new volunteers and 50 applications for potential volunteers, which in my mind was successful. Since Berkeley has started, we've had volunteers contribute over 350 hours of service time. She brought on 85 new volunteers since she started, and there are now 60 active volunteers currently. Volunteer program is important to what we do. I can't even tell you how important it is to what we do. The simple fact of it is that when we have so many animals in the kennel, if they can't get out on a regular basis to interact with humans or other dogs, they suffer physically and mentally, and sometimes they pay for it with their lives if they're in a kennel for too long and they go kennel crazy. So for us to get them out, for us to have the time to get them out and interact with each other and other people, it's invaluable. So the volunteer program, it's incredibly important. It's one of the priorities that we have right now, is to bring the community in to help us try to achieve some of our goals. The spay and neuter program, I'll touch on that. Pages 10 and 11 cover the spay and neuter program. The Commissioner Blackburn, maybe it was Commissioner Geary, had asked what happened to the business manager, Blake Smith, who used to give standing funding updates. He did retire, but on page 11 is the standing update that was submitted because it's the same template that he used. That'll show you that dollar figure that I was talking about, $144,000 and change. The only thing I would correct on there is the, where it says Valley Vet Coach, that's actually SNF Plus. And that's as of December 31st. So we had 6 clinics this month, and we have another 4 next month, and then 5 in March, and then a few every month after that. So, and also the page 10 has a breakdown. We had one of our first clinic, well, not really one of our first, but since we've assigned one of our program technicians to administering the spay neuter program, which was in December, we organized the spay neuter clinic. We've been alternating Oildale and East Bakersfield, and the reason why we do that is because the majority of the animals, dogs specifically, that we take into the shelter come from those 2 areas. We started with a clinic in Oildale December 10th, 11th, and 12th, where 176 full spay neuter surgeries were completed. January so far, we've done the 7th, 8th, and 9th clinic, so we did 173 spay neuter surgeries were completed. We have the 22nd and 23rd, which is this weekend, and then we have the February 4 dates, February 3rd, 4th, 17th, and 18th. March, we have 5 dates, the 10th, 11th, 17th, and 18th. The 26th of March, we'll be in Boron doing a spay neuter clinic. They need it out there too. And then for the remainder of the year, if all the funding plays out the way it is, I will probably be able to do a minimum of 2 clinic days every month April, May, and June, and then I'll wrap up the end of this year. We'll probably end up spending over $400,000 on spay neuter. And the last thing I wanted to touch on is the last page, page 12. I thought it was pretty cool. Some of you may have heard about the Betty White Challenge. Some of you may have benefited from the Betty White Challenge. That was this meme that was going around that Miss Betty White, the actress, that she was a lifelong animal supporter. And there was a meme that came out just a day or two after she passed, on December 31st, that encouraged people to donate to their local animal shelter. $5 if you could, you know. So about a couple days after that came out, and I saw that meme, I had gone to my staff and said, hey, have you seen any donations come in? Betty White? They said, actually, yeah, we did. We saw 2 or 3. I was like, wow, you know, 2 or 3 donations that came to us because this wonderful woman who passed away was passionate about it. So we kind of kept monitoring it, and then we started seeing supplies that came in her name, like treats and blankets and dog bones and toys and stuff like that. Somebody made us a box of homemade dog bones. It was adorable. Like, they literally mix the ingredients and make it and sent them and sent them through Betty White's name. But the amazing thing is that on her birthday, which was December 17th, January 17th, she would have been 100 years old, we just all of a sudden started receiving a flood of donations on her birthday. And last we checked, we had over $3,500 that were donated in her name. Small donations, too. We're not talking about 2 people that donated like $1,000. No, they're on average $25. I just thought that was really cool. It just goes to show what can be done when somebody's incredibly passionate about something. Yeah, concludes the director's report.
Okay, I'll open up to the commissioners on any questions. Commissioner here.
Any other on the new vet, new veterinarian?
Yeah,
there is no.
I know, I was just asking.
No, the county engaged some recruiting agencies that specify in veterinary recruitments. They came to an agreement with contracts with one of them, and to date it has not panned out. It's been about a month, and it just hasn't panned out yet. We're attending a couple of virtual events, one this week and I think one in February, just to try and see what we can get. Very increased the compensation. Just to throw it out, I don't know if I should say this with Mickey and Larry, but just to throw this out there, if you all know of veterinarians that want to come to the
try this last
No, it's a little bit different. We're able to do what we need to do at the shelter through contracts. So we have veterinarians that are contractually agreed to provide services for us. And some of them just do it because they love animals, but we were told, not so much directly, but we were told that we were compensating on a contractual basis with way below market value. So we have significantly increased the reimbursement for hourly for a contract veterinarian. So if you know of anybody who has some spare time on their hands and would like to do some shelter surgeries, we have a beautiful spay neuter room. I'll show it to you myself. But the pay is, in my opinion, is consistent with what it should be. Just throw that out there. But no, we have not hired a veterinarian, nor are we close to hiring a veterinarian.
Okay, and for everyone to know, signing up for the spay and neuter, how proud of you.
There's a flyer on the back table, just a phone number you're going to call. We kind of have a system in place now where there's an email and a phone number. And until the date on the flyer, I think it's after January 22nd. Can't make an appointment until after January 22nd for the next clinic. We put out a new flyer with each clinic. And what happens is we book your appointment, and then we have volunteers contact you, hound you several days before your appointment to remind you that you have an appointment. And that seems to be really increasing the rate of turnout at these things.
Thank you.
So you guys are actually booking the appointments for
just for county clinics. They do other things that we are not.
Right, but I mean, for the clinics that you are hosting, they are letting you make the appointments.
Letting is a yes.
They won't let us. All we have to do is just hand out cards, and maybe that's why,
I mean, we've done it both ways. We've had them book them too, and it went fine. But for us, there's more information that we need from those pet owners. You know, we need to capture that information for follow-up on licensing and things like that. So we have a system that's working pretty well. And they seem to be on board.
Okay. And I'm assuming that these clinics, like the ones you said in Oilville, they actually go to Oilville to make it convenient for those residents to be there at that bus?
Yes. They're either in Oilville or in East Bakersfield. We've been bouncing back and forth. They're not only for residents of Oilville and East Bakersfield, although we are marketing that way, simply because we want those residents to take advantage of the resources. But if you're a county resident, that's all that matters. You just want to know.
Okay, I don't have any questions, so what we're going to do is open it up to the group. In the interest of time, please ask one question.
Just to let you know that there's some other good things on the horizon. I've been in communication with Simi Valley Nonprofit. Simi Valley Nonprofit is about the only other mobile spay-neuter outfit that's ever done business in Kern County. They've really done the outskirts of Kern County recently, mostly Lake Isabella and Taft. Had a really good conversation with the owner of Simi Valley, and we're optimistic that she's going to be able to do Bakersfield clinics once a month, and we'll probably have them happen at the animal shelter, at our animal shelter. So stay tuned. As long as everything goes forward, we'll be able to have another spay neuter option. Try to really Vicky and Larry with pressure.
Thank you. So I'm going to open up to the group. So in the interest of time, we have to be quickly out of here by 8 o'clock. So hold it to one question. And I'm going to start with the first row. Kathy, or question for Nick.
Yeah, I guess I'm more interested in why aren't we spay and neuter mandatory?
Why aren't we? I mean, the simple answer is because there's never been a law that was passed. The explanation would probably take a lot longer than we have time for. I'd be more than happy to give you my email address and my phone number.
So it involves just more steps and it's very involved, I guess.
Well, you'd have to pass a law, and it's trust me, it is no simple feat to get the law passed or worded right. So there is a lot of work that's being done currently that is a result of the subcommittee that was created to research laws along those lines. That council, McNutt over there, has been working with me to finalize to bring to the commission, which if you keep coming, we're very soon, hopefully, going to present the commission with some language and some new ordinances that will address a lot of the issues that we talked about. That is not fixed right away, you guys, but it is definitely in the right direction. It's not a mandatory spay-neuter like you're talking about, but I've talked about it before. If you want to learn more about it, I'll see me at the meeting or I'll give you my email.
It's also on the agenda. We'll be talking about it more here later on, so that we'll be addressing that. So any other? Okay, table two. A question for Nick? No. Table three. Sunday, you've got only got questions.
So the SNP clinics, so the SNP clinics are 7,000 for one day.
They call them a double clinic. It's $3,500 for a regular clinic where they do 25 to 35 animals depending on the sex and the size.
Yeah.
But a double clinic is the max of animals that they can handle in one clinic. It's, depending on the size, anywhere between probably 45 and 60 animals. And yes, for a double clinic, that's what they do.
That's like $116 an animal then. And that's without any other extras.
Yep.
Thank you. Anybody else with a question for Nick in the third row? Well,
nope,
did you? Okay, yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry.
You didn't raise your hands.
Yeah, I know. I just thought about it when she started
talking.
Okay,
go for it.
Okay, so I have to say this. When you see people like the young woman in the back who has over 50 animals, why is she not given priority for precedence in terms of having these animals bathed, neutered? Maybe I'm not asking the question right, but there's obviously people in the community that are taking, responsibility and taking initiative. Is there a way for us to prioritize those people in terms of making sure that they are getting their animals fixed ASAP? Is there a way to implement that?
Well, it's a complicated question. I would say that there are taxpayer dollars, and so all of our spay-neuter programs are a max of 4 animals per household. You can imagine, if I'm doing one clinic that handles 50 animals and I park it outside of one person's house, there might be some gentleman with handcuffs at my door asking me why I did that. It would probably be a misuse of county funding. They're taxpayer dollars that fund these efforts for the entire community. Are there people like the individual who has 50 animals that we try to help in some other facet? Yes, all the time. All the time. It's usually with vouchers. And those vouchers, logistically, giving somebody 50 spay-neuter vouchers and the logistics of them making appointments for 50 animals and getting them all spay-neutered at the same time is a bit complicated. So where we have had success in the past is working with an animal owner. I don't think that's the same situation. We're talking about people that have 50 animals and they should not have 50 animals.
Yeah, that's a different story.
But usually we'll work with them if the situation and circumstances are right. And it's just a numbers problem where we'll try to get them into a vet that takes 5 or 6 at a time. We've done that a number of times, usually with cats. But yeah, so I wouldn't call it a priority, but it's a case-by-case basis. And if somebody reaches out to us, we'll be able to do what we can to try to help them.
Thank you.
To the lady with the 50 animals, I'm sorry, I forgot your name.
Thanks.
Were you aware of these programs?
I was, so I did take 4 of the dogs, and these are all rescues that have been dumped on me from the streets. So I'm out of order, I promise.
Okay, no.
So I did take 4 to the SNP bus, and then I do TNR, the ferals that I have, and then my own cats, normally I end up tame. But for the SNP bus, I was told that I can't take big dogs. I didn't know that I was allowed to take large dogs.
You can't. SNP bus has a limitation.
You
can think about it, it's a trailer, and there's only such a size of a dog that it can fit on the trailer.
Okay.
I don't remember what their cutoff is. I think it's 70 pounds or something.
I think it's 60.
But I will say that we have managed to get large dogs on. The circumstances would call for it. But by and large, especially when we're dealing with hundreds and hundreds of thousands of animals we're trying to get fixed, we try to keep it to whatever SNF bus tells us.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I'm having a hard time fixing the bigger dogs. And a lot of vets and clinics aren't taking them.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't have the solution.
Okay.
You know, I even have a voucher program that I would be happy to assist you with, but in reality, even if I issued you a voucher for every one of your animals, there's no capacity to get it fixed.
I already used up all my vouchers, so I think it's like 3 or 4 per person per lifetime, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
After the meeting, if you come see me, I'll give you my card. If there's something that I can do to help out, I'll see what I can do.
Thank you.
Okay, I'll go back to table 2 again, make sure I got everybody. So, nobody else? Okay, table 3, please.
Hi, Nick. Thank you for
question.
Thank you for addressing the forum. I appreciate all that you and your department do. It's a thankless job, and I really appreciate the taxpayer to see what you're doing and read your report. I have a question just for my own edification, clarification. I can appreciate that the ordinance is a tough thing to get passed, and the process of doing that is difficult. But I'd like to know, just so I know where you are, do you support mandatory spay or neuter? Everything else has been complicated. That's an easy one.
No, it's not as easy as you might think. If the resources were in place for everybody that wanted to spay and neuter their animal, to spay and neuter their animal, we probably wouldn't need mandatory spay and neuter.
Amen.
What I mean by that is, there's people out there who we come across more often, the people in this room, we come across more often than anybody else does. There are people in this county, in this community, that should be forced to spay and neuter their pet. Absolutely. But in my opinion, by and large, we suffer from a problem of poverty and access to veterinary care right now. And it's exacerbating the problem. It was a problem already. I can tell you just from a county perspective, you know, I was just talking to Berkeley about this today. Maybe it was somebody else. I don't know. So I was talking to somebody. You think I would remember with the pink hair, but I was talking to somebody that up until recently, like 2019 was the last normal year for Kern County Animal Services. Puppies were few and far between. Pregnant mamas were few and far between. It was Berkeley. And now we have more than we know what to do with. Pregnant mamas, puppies, and that is a direct result of there being a lack of access to veterinary care. Internal medicine being practiced, new clients being seen, enough veterinarians so that the veterinary clinics can even operate on a regular basis. So is there some form of mandates that need to, yes, I think that there has to come a time when somebody has to be forced to do it. But I will tell you that to create a law that says you have to spay and neuter your pet right now without giving somebody the access to do that is a recipe for disaster. If they cannot comply with the law, what happens to that animal? And there's been a lot of municipalities who have failed in that measure before. So again, that's what I was trying to get at with you, is that this is a conversation that's very nuanced, has a lot of complications to it. And there's really no answer, no one single answer.
My question is more philosophical on your part. You've answered it. Thank you. Thank you, Nick.
Anybody else on table 3 with a question? Okay. Anybody else? Including you? No? Okay. Move on to table 4. Anybody else?
Yes. When you said that you're bringing the trailer to spay and neuter, to Oilville and the east side, when are you going to run?
We're trying to get one of the clinics in the second quarter of this year will be in Lamont. Either April, May, or June, I'm not sure when just yet. The other problem with...
Would you send a flyer or a...
I'm sorry?
Would you send it like you've done it before on the text?
Oh,
on the phone?
We'll probably promote on social media, through the regular media, and then we have officers that will probably canvass the area. We've done a lot of spay neuter in Lamont. Of all of the areas in Kern County in the last 3 years, we've by and large done more in Lamont than any other community. But I will say that it's needed in Lamont.
Yes.
they're, you know, at least 20 miles away from the nearest veterinarian, and even those veterinarians aren't able to see it.
We don't have a vet over there. The reason I'm asking you is because a lot of people, especially in the Levant area with Latinos, they don't think that they should possibly neuter their dogs or their female dogs. And they keep having dogs and dogs. And then when they can't feed them, what do? They open the doors at night, they let them out, and they go on Weed Patch Highway, and in the morning, you see all these dogs where trucks are killing them.
Okay, hold on, we're at table four. Okay, so let's stay on track, otherwise we're not gonna get through this. So table four, please.
It's not really a question as much as an imploration. With these SNP bus mobile clinics that you're having, since you all are taking the appointments for it, can you please ask your volunteers to tell these folks if they have an appointment already scheduled somewhere else to please cancel it? Because we see the correlation is unmistakable. The first few days after you all hold a free clinic, we end up with all of these holes. So I don't necessarily feel like we're fixing more animals. They have no problem walking away from a $20 deposit if they can go over there and get it done for free. And they also don't seem to feel any obligation to call us and let us know that that space is open. I have rescues who will take it in 2 seconds. Yeah. If I have an open, I could call them the night before and go be here tomorrow morning. But when we see the day after, you know, the Monday, Tuesday after you have the weekend clinics, 2 large female dog spaces, 3 medium-sized female dog spaces, 3 small dog spaces that people have walked away from. We've tried on our end to do everything we can. We send a text message 5 days before the appointment that literally says, if you don't need this appointment anymore, please call us and let us know so we can rebook it to somebody else. We send text message reminders before the surgery. We send robocalls. We have human beings call them to try and confirm it. And I think, you know, I'm not sure where the disconnect is with us, but I think on your guys' end, you don't have to use our name. Just if you have an appointment scheduled somewhere else, please cancel that appointment. I think they're afraid if they say something that you're not going to let them into your clinic because they already have an appointment scheduled somewhere, so they're going to, you know, they're trying to like deny it. But it's frustrating on our end because it feels like we could be fixing more specifically dogs. That we could just kind of keep that communication where people understand, like, all we're asking you to do is cancel that space so somebody else can have it.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you.
I wrote it down to tell Andrew.
Thank you.
Actually, Candace asked us to, so we started.
Thank you.
Okay, on table four, another question.
Do you have any plans, or maybe I missed it already, any plans to do a clinic out Button Willow, Lost Hills area? I get a lot of communications.
Spay neuter clinic? No, I don't have any plans right now in that area.
Okay, good. So we're going to go on the left side over here. This is a question.
Just to interrupt again, not to vomit all my problems to everybody in this room, but the other problem with us getting out to these outlying areas is the SNP bus is, for good reason, it's a long day to do a double clinic, man. So to send them out an hour and a half or 2 hours away from Bakersfield to do 50, 60 surgeries and then turn around and come back, we've had to have conversations about compensating them for lodging. So when we start talking about outlying areas, that's another obstacle. But we're getting them out to Boron in March, and that's the first shot we're taking at trying to figure out some solution to the lodging issue. What we really took is it was a nonprofit animal welfare organization that is in Boron, and they said, we'll help. So just the outlying communities, if we can figure out solutions on how to bring SNP bus out there that makes sense for everybody, we certainly will.
Friends would probably think about the lodging if you could dig it up, think about that area.
Okay, thank you. So this is one question for Director Cullen. This is not presentations, okay? On the left side, anybody have a question back there? No? Okay. How about this row here? Please ask.
Hi, Nick.
Hi.
I was really happy to hear that it sounds like pretty soon you're gonna give recommendations for ordinances and rules. Is that what you said?
I'll touch on that when we get to the ordinance subcommittee, if I feel like I should probably sort of readdress the process, but the recommendation doesn't come from me. The subcommittee had some recommendations. Not all of them were legal or constitutional, and some of them were in direct confliction with the state laws. So we've had to, former counsel, Jerry Bradley and I, who retired, we've had to reword them, rework them to accomplish the same thing, but in such a way that would be legal to do so. So once that's completed, I present that to the commission, and the commission takes a vote whether to make that recommendation to the Board of Supervisors to open public hearings for adoption of those ordinances.
Okay, so is it a comprehensive, you went through everything, you went through everything?
I mean, it's specifically what the subcommittee wanted.
I see.
I was, for the most part.
I know it's one question, but it's all related to the same thing. I'm just curious if there's anything, or what you're, like he, this gentleman asked about your stance on spay neuter, I'm just curious if there's anything about breeding.
Oh, yeah.
A difference in breed, you know.
In those ordinances?
Yeah,
yes.
A change. Or at least enforcement or money to enforce or anything.
I wish I could I wish I could appoint my own money.
Well, that sometimes there are a lot of laws written if they get passed.
But there are ordinances that do include some restrictions on breeding. I will state for everybody that there are existing ordinances now.
That's why I said enforcement.
Whether we have the resources to enforce them on a regular basis is a different story. Conversation for another time, because there's no ordinance that's going to fix that.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct that.
Any change has to come with an increased funding. It has to. Well, I can get it.
Lady in the back, did you have a question for Nick? Okay. How about the role in the very farm side? Anybody else in that role that has a question? Okay. So we're coming back to the head table then. So we've already been through the audience. So at this point, I need a motion to receive and file the director's monthly report, first of all.
I make a motion to receive and file the report. Second.
So we have a motion and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, so that's been received and filed. Commissioners, announcements or reports? I'll start on my left.
Okay. Sure, I have one thing. I live at Have a Heart Humane Society. We have also been having the SNP there, SNP bus, come for a double clinic. We started in August, and we did two double clinics in August, and whew, that was a lot. But we were trying to make up for all the months that there was nothing. Mm-hmm. So since then, we have been doing one double clinic a month to the tune of the $7,000. And I know Sunday did the math. It does average out between $110 and $125 per pet, which if you fix a male cat, you know, 60, 70 bucks to take a male cat to the vet, maybe to have it fixed, critters is probably about that same price. So to pay $120 to have a male cat fixed, it hurts. It hurts because it should be so cheap, but that is the average, that's the price we pay. Of course, we also pay $120 to have a 60-pound German Shepherd fixed as well. But it is the only game in town, and it's working, and Kern County does not send the SNP bus up to Tehachapi. We are on our own. So this is our mission with Have a Heart, is to provide these services, and as long as we have the money, we will continue to do it. I'd like to get more, but obviously Nick is sucking up all of the dates, but it's all good. It's all good. Share them with Shotherwell, but as long as they're getting fixed, and I agree with what Nick said, if you supply enough voluntary spay and neuter options for people, I think a lot of the problem will take care of itself as far as dogs being abandoned and just reproducing constantly, but there are still a lot of people that their mindset is not there. And that's what we have to change, the mindset.
Anything else?
That's it.
Okay. Last month, myself and Commissioner Sinapa was escorted on Sunday, and Michelle, who isn't there, I guess, tonight, on a very informative and lengthy trip, looking at the situation with dogs running around, typically they looked abandoned or whatever, but we started out in Marvin,
went by Kern Medical Center, which I thought was the worst of the bunch. Went to Welldale and Wasco and Shafter and met up with a girl that was feeding some dogs there for some time. And, you know, it wasn't a busy day because it was kind of cold, and I think the dogs were probably underneath a house somewhere. But it, you know, it was a good, informative ride-along. I hope to do it again, but it opens up your eyes a little bit more on what's really going on. I don't really get to get out and see what's happening because I'm doing other things, but it was really good, and I appreciate Sunday driving, and did a good job, and I got back in one piece, so that was nice. So, but it was really good, and we were there for at least 4 hours, but it was a really good tour, and I want to do more of that, but I appreciate all your time and energy. So that was kind of what happened last month for me was doing that, and that was really good. And so you're looking at your watch, did you have a comment?
No.
Okay. So that's pretty much our announcements or reports. I did meet with David Couch, also my supervisor, last month, and brought him up to speed on what's going on. And by the way, the day that we spoke was December 15th. And I said, David, I said, wait a minute, you know what today is? He goes, no, what's today? What's the day? I said, well, on this date, 6 years ago, Nick Cullen did a PowerPoint presentation to the supervisors on a business plan to go no-till. And he succeeded in doing it in not 5 years, but really 4.5 years. So we talked a lot about no-till. We talked about the subcommittee and things like that. So he hopefully is going to be here next month. But anyway, a lot going on. And even though we didn't meet here in December, we're still doing things and we still try to stay active. So that concludes that part. Old business, we'll move on to that. Staff referrals, none. The next one is the update on the AKC Reunite fundraising efforts. And I talked to Janice Anderson, who's kind of heading that up, and she couldn't be here tonight. She wanted me to let everybody know that that she sent out letters asking for donations, explaining the program about the matching of funds to get these trailers, and I'm not sure how much money they've been able to generate at this point, but she'll be back next month. But she wanted to let everybody know that they're on it, and the letters have been out. And I assume nothing else from anybody else on the AKC Reunites fundraising program. Anybody else here that wants to comment on? Okay. I'll move on then. Item number two, and I'm glad Director Cullen is still up there. Status on ordinance subcommittee revisions.
There we go. Yeah, so I'll kind of recap everybody. First off, let me say our website, Kern County Animal Services.org, under the link, there's a button that says who we are. There's a commission. A drop down on that. If you click on that, it has most of the agendas and summary of proceedings and audio recordings from almost all of the meetings for like past who knows how many years. My recommendation is, I believe either in July or August of 2021, we recapped, in my recollection, very well. Sort of because it had been so long since we had an Animal Service Commission, how we got to the point where we were then on the subcommittee and what the recommendations were. And I had a description of the ordinances and what they were intended to do and the language for them. And if you want to see that, leave me your information, I'll try to send it to you. But so the subcommittee that was developed was a result of community members just like you who wanted a solution to the problem, who were exhausted, and who were very fervent that mandatory spay-neuter was needed to be passed, and that there were other ordinances that needed to be looked at and been revised and tweaked and some added and some subtracted. And so the commission decided to create a subcommittee, which is something that commissions do. And the subcommittee included two commission members. Two commission members and then members of the community. And the way it worked out, there was, if I remember correctly, 7 voting members, and it was almost odd the way it worked out. It was 3 people that were fervent for mandatory spay neuter, and 3 people that were against mandatory spay neuter, and then somebody who was kind of on the fence. And so what came out of that, and it was over a year of discussion and good discussion, you know what I mean? Don't get me wrong, there were times. I don't know if I was going to make it out of there alive, but it was a good discussion. It needed to be had. What came out of that was some recommendations for changes that tighten some things up, but 2 of the things that are important to the people in this room are breeding restrictions and both legit breeding restrictions and accidental litter restrictions, or something along the lines of a mandatory spay neuter. And unfortunately, when we put that subcommittee together, we decided, I don't know if it was we or maybe council decided, that it did not need a council member. It should have had a council member. And I say that because what the results that came out of that couldn't have been done in the form that came out of that. The reason why is because a few of the things, I explained this at an earlier meeting, there's general law counties in the state of California, and there are charter counties in the state of California. And the general law counties, which we are much more handcuffed in creating laws or anything along the lines of a law that is in conflict with an existing state law. It doesn't make any of this impossible. It just makes it a little bit tough to navigate. So one of those recommended ordinances that came out of the subcommittee was to create breeding restrictions, breeding legislation, a breeding permit, if you will. And what we found out is that the state of California already defines what a breeder is. And the way they define a breeder was different than what the subcommittee had wanted. So it can't be in conflict. So we had to, Councilman Bradley and I had to work to change the language so that there were separate breeding permits, I think she called them, limited breeders, limited breeders permits, and then all the way up until a commercial animal facility permit that she was going to adopt, which we already have, but expanded. It was just a way of wording it in such a way that it's no longer in conflict. So that took some time to come to that language. There were some other things in those ordinances that came out of that subcommittee that maybe we forgot about, but were almost equally as important, the way that you maintain an animal when they're outdoors and in particular temperatures, the way that you're able to, and how long you're able to tether or chain an animal outdoors, making sure that animal has access to clean, potable water. I mean, there's a lot of things in there that were kind of easy, slam dunk kind of things, but the breeding and the spay neuter were the things that hung us up and continue to do so. So that got us to about December. Council Bradley and I kind of settled on some language, and she threw out some things that she thought was going to work. Gary Bradley retired. We were given a new council member, Council Member Olson, and now she's out on maternity leave. And we did some work, Council Olson and I, and now our new council member, Council McNutt. We've had a conversation 2 weeks ago about the intent and what we want to come out of that, and we're currently working on bringing those ordinances and the language to the subcommittee so that the subcommittee can take this off of my plate and make a decision.
To the committee? Commission.
Not subcommittee. So we're getting there, basically. It would have been nice to have counsel at the beginning, you're right.
As long as Jeremy doesn't go anywhere, I think we'll be okay.
Don't go anywhere.
I'll be around.
Okay, so there should be more to come.
Just don't give up.
Just to get into the specifics, and like I said, anybody who's wanting to further this conversation about what those ordinances look like, I will make myself available. Most of the time I am anyway. I'll give you my card. You can call or email. But the gist of what came out of that was, by the way, This causes another problem too, because even if, like I said before, the other worry and concern for me is that even if I forced Joe Schmo to fix his pet, but Joe Schmo had no way of fixing his pet, couldn't afford it or didn't have access, can't get an appointment, what happens to that animal? That's a concern, you know? And to put forth an ordinance that's going to require somebody to do something but not provide the resources to do it,
yes,
those things have to be figured out in advance. So what we had wanted to do, and the language that we had come up with and that Jeremy and I are working on, was stolen almost verbatim from Riverside County. If you're curious, when you get home, Google Riverside County ordinances and look up their animal ordinances. I don't know what title number it is, but you'll find it. It's in the animal section. And they have an ordinance that says, in the county of Riverside, it's not verbatim, but in the county of Riverside, it is illegal to own an animal over a certain age. And then there's some stipulations, like if it's a canine or if it's, you know, if you know mandatory spay neuter, there's always a set of sort of safety valve things that don't apply. But by and large, it says you can't own an animal in the county of Riverside that's unaltered. The way that you can come into compliance is you either spay neuter your pet, because you're in violation, so you either spay neuter your pet, or you can go and license your animal as an unaltered animal. Now, if you look at the ordinances that exist right now in Kern County, it's not that far off from what we already have. However, the trick to Riverside ordinances is that there are qualifications in order to be allowed to purchase an unaltered dog license. And there are many qualifications. And those qualifications, in my opinion, make it such that the people that would be required to spay and neuter their animal that would not qualify for an unaltered dog license are the people that we want to target. The people that allow their animal to roam loose. Because some of those qualifications are like, if animal control has received a call about your dog being off property in the past 12 months, if you've been cited for leash law in the past 12 months, if you have had a quarantine dog in the past, if it's a dangerous order dog, there's a lot of qualifications that somebody who was found in violation of a Title VII ordinance could potentially, more than likely, be required to spay and neuter their pet. That is a very simplification of what we are trying to bring to this commission.
Right.
Yes, there is the language for a classic breeder's permit, but I think that's kind of what is more important, that we're trying to work the nuts and bolts out for and bring to this commission.
Thank you, Nick, for explaining that. So this is a very, you know, difficult and complicated subject that we've been wrestling with for months, maybe years. It's going to stay on old business for a while until we figure out how we want to handle it. So I appreciate everybody's attendance. It's been a pretty interesting meeting, and I appreciate everybody's effort in getting here and saying what they wanted to say. So that's what this forum is all about. So at this time, the last item on the agenda is adjournment, so I need to ask for a motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Okay, we're adjourned. We'll see you next month.